All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Heather Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
According to reports out of Finland, Mikko Koskinen is announcing his retirement. We'll never forget you, Mikko. Liam, it turned around. We need to. We need to properly honor Mikko if we're going to do this.
Farewell, Liko.
Yeah,
you'll be missed. I'll never forget the time you allowed 4 goals on 4 shots.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'll never forget the 3 minutes of time on ice he got in that game against the Calgary Flames before Mike Smith came back out of the tunnel.
Yeah, part of a historic moment in Oilers Nation history. Great video by Zach then.
Yeah. All right. Owen says Liko cost the game. Hey, come on now. I think we were... what was his career save percentage with the Oilers?
It was actually way better than people give him credit for. Let's have a peek here.
Liam, I like Fico said Star Wars theme for his jersey.
Well, everyone knows he was a massive Chewbacca fan because he was just as tall.
Yeah, sure.
And just as hairy, allegedly.
Well, no, actually, when you look at Mikko Koskinen, he looked like a very smooth individual.
He was bald. Do you remember the calendar they put out with the dogs and they had a tiny dog?
Oh, that was great. I would never forget that. Anyways, I do think we were unnecessarily hard.
917 one year.
I mean, he had a career 903 or a career 906 with the Oilers. No better than that, because his 873 with the Islanders would have dunked that down a bit. He was fine. We were too hard on Mikko Koskinen. He couldn't stop the first shot of the game to save his life, but goddamn, hey, he was a good dude.
He seemed like a good dude.
Anyways, welcome in to Oilers Nation Every Day, dedicating today's show to the career of Mikko Koskinen. We are live from the Sports Closet studio. Should we keep this up all show?
Yeah, why not?
I like the idea of Jason Demers, former NHLer, professional broadcaster now at the NHL Network. I like the idea of him signing on and being like, all right, I'm doing my first hit with these Oilers Nation guys, you know? Oilers Nation's got a big following. I bet you it's a real professional show. And he's going to sign on and see a Mikko Koskinen banner I drew 4 minutes ago.
We got to get him on the show.
Mikko?
Yeah, I just looked. The reason he retired is because his season's over. He's not just retiring mid-season.
No, no. Those European seasons end early.
Marcus Granlund plays on his team. John Quinnville.
John Quinnville.
Edmonton boy.
Yeah, there's our connection.
Daniel Carr, Sherwood Park boy.
We just have to get connected to one of Daniel Carr or Joel Quenneville. Or
how many is number?
John right Quenneville. Now. And John, then that's our path to getting Mikko Koskinen's number and getting him on the show. All right, welcome into the show today. The Oilers did play last night. We're going to have a full breakdown of everything that went down during the Oilers' loss, unfortunately, to the St. Louis Blues. We'll look ahead to the next couple of games, and we are going to be joined by a special guest, Jason Demers, the former NHLer. You probably know, I think when you think Demers, you think Shark.
I think Oiler.
I think of the time he came to visit town with Milan Lucic, that free agency.
Oh, that's right. We should ask him about that.
We should ask him about that.
Yeah, I forgot that we pretty much had him.
He was right there, man.
And then years later.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how he became an Oiler that year, too. Like, I wonder if it was he chose to come here because of, like, Woodcroft.
Maybe. What maybe he's a big Woody guy. I mean, he would obviously have known from San Jose.
For many years.
Well, there you go. Well,
I just looked, actually. Mikko Koskinen's agent is the same agent as Alex Tessier.
So if we can just get a connection to Tessier, we'll have no problem getting Mikko on.
Well on the way, I think.
If Mikko would have announced his retirement 2 days ago, it would have been a great April Fool's joke at Oilers Nation to put out that Mikko's coming back to be a black ace for the playoffs.
That would have been awesome. He had an yeah, that would have been
great. Why not? Why not, Liam? Don't be a hater. Don't hate on our boy, Mikko.
I'm not. I'm a big fan of Mikko. Mm. It takes a lot of kahunas to wear the number 19 as a goalie.
It really does. You're putting yourself out there a little bit. Okay, people probably really don't care about our take on Mikko Koskinen. They probably want to hear our take on the Oilers game last night. So let's dig into what we saw during the Oilers' loss to the St. Louis Blues. They managed to pick up a point. Mm. Liam, when you look at that game, we'll get into the video reviews in a little bit. As a whole, I actually don't think you can be too critical of the Oilers. I thought they played well. Couple of blowups, couple of, you know, a few too many odd man rushes.
Yeah.
A couple 2-on-1s I didn't love and things like that. But for the most part, they were the better team. They just couldn't get a bounce.
Yeah. And the overtime goal was a bit unlucky, really. Like, you know, I thought McLeod actually had a great shift and just made a great play to get the puck back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of all unraveled from there. But I think overall, like, to go on the road, get a point in St. Louis to start off a road trip, there's worse places to go and play and only get a point, right?
Like, yeah.
St. Louis is a good team and they're pushing for a playoffs and they're right there on the tails of the LA Kings now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't 100% disappointed in seeing that.
Okay, I'm going to switch up a little bit from what we were planning to do. And I know you had a moment of the game written down, but I want to change it up a little bit. I'm going to say our moments of the game because they are ultimately what ended up defining this hockey game.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be the video reviews, Liam. Moment of the game brought to you by Douglas Mattress. Head to douglas.ca/OilersNation. These mattresses are handcrafted in Canada. That ensures the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. They were named Canada's best mattress on Canadian Living. They're loved by more than 200,000 Canadians, including myself and Liam. We sleep like babies on our Douglas mattress, and you can too. Order today, douglas.ca/OilersNation. Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company. What I don't support is the amount of video reviews we got last night. It was first, Evander Kane, high sticks, no goal. That one, don't really have a beef with. That was high sticking.
Yeah, it was interesting to know that it went off his foot, but maybe I just don't know the rule. Because if that was a regular play, would that have been called down? Like, that would be just called down anyway, right?
Yeah, it'd be blown dead because
okay, so
if you high stick it, you can't even touch it next. It's not like a glove pass.
So I have no problem with that one. I'm actually not sure what took so long because it did go off his foot and go in. But maybe they were just looking at the clock. I don't know.
But the other ones were the ones I had a beef with. So okay. To start things off, the Oilers score, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He's been trying to get going. He's been doing nothing but hitting goalposts as of late for the most part. He finds the back of the net, a great rush by Zach Hyman as well. They say no goal. There was contact and there was contact in the crease from Zach Hyman. So you kind of got the feeling that it wasn't going to go the Oilers' way. I think in the spirit of the rule, this one should have counted. I just look at it and go, okay, Hyman made contact. Binnington had time to reset. And the reason he gave up that goal is because he thought Nuge was going around him and he opened up his five hole.
Can we see the goal? Do we have the goal?
We do, but we just have the review part of it next to the other one.
Gotcha.
That was there. But, okay, well, so then, here you go. Yeah.
Well, let's quickly talk about the other one. Yeah. So again, there was contact made. I don't think it actually impeded on Binnington's ability to stop the puck.
Okay.
It probably goes in anyways, is my argument. But if you want to say no, as soon as you make contact with the goalie in the crease, it doesn't matter if you sit there and go, hey, could have stopped it, couldn't have stopped it, whatever. It's no goal, sure. But then why wasn't that logic applied to the St. Louis goal?
I totally agree.
That's what doesn't make any sense to me here. And you'll look at the two. Okay, Hyman hits him. Watch the one on the right. Nuge picks it up. Binnington's legs are just open. Like, he has a chance to make that save. It has nothing to do with Hyman bumping him, in my opinion. Or am I reading that totally wrong? I guess he does kind of open him up a bit.
I think the refs made the right call on the Nugent Hopkins goal. He makes contact right in the blue paint. Hyman is the only one.
Yeah.
He's a direct contact on that. I think that's the right call. And I don't mind that.
And you know what? Getting a chance to watch it again, it is a bit more bang bang than maybe I remember.
Yeah. And then, but the one on the left, this was Shen's first goal.
Yeah.
So Skinner had a quote, which we'll get to as well from Snow Valley in a moment, but he said this affected him. Like, he couldn't lift his blocker or something. He said like when I first watched it, I was like, I just don't see it. But you watch it a bit more in slow motion, which is what the officials do. Then you can clearly see he's like, his stick is flexed on Skinner. Like, he's got it jammed in there.
Yeah.
Incidental contact either way, but I just don't see how this goal stood.
So and that's where I'm kind of coming out on it. Maybe that's why I'm more frustrated about the first goal, but like, there is contact here. And again, we'll get to Skinner's quote here, but there's contact on both these goals. And I think what's dangerous and what's even maybe frustrating about the way the NHL is doing this is it feels like there's a bit too much gray area in all this.
Totally.
Like, it feels like on the Blues goal, they're going, I was beating them anyways, so who cares? And on the other goal, they're saying, no, even if it was beating him anyways, you can't make contact with the goalie in the crease. Like, if you make contact with the goalie in the crease, no goal. If you're opening it up and saying, there's room for gray area, then both of these should count, in my opinion. They should either both count or both not count, because they're close enough to the same thing.
It's similar to like offside, right? Like you said, the gray area, like, these rules can be very simple. If contact is made in the blue paint from the attacking player onto the goalie, that impedes on a goal, it should not be a goal.
Yeah.
Right? Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
That's how it should be. It's so straightforward. Now, you get some, and maybe I'm thinking of this incorrectly, but I'm sure it was Peter Mrazek on Hyman, or maybe it was even Binnington. I can't remember, but they like came out to the edge of the blue paint. They made the contact with Hyman, goal stud. So yes, because the goalie made the contact. Hyman didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But in both those cases, both those players went into the goalie's area and prevented what could have been a save. In Europe, that's how they do it. Straight up, you cannot go into blue paint.
That's the double IHF rule, yeah.
And I think that's just the easiest way to do it. And why, like, I know people don't like it when goals get taken away, but people dislike it more when we get shit like this.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's the same thing, just slightly different in what was, where contact was made and what it was made with.
Yeah. Yeah, we're motoring through a couple of segments because they all kind of tie together, but that was without a doubt your moment of the game. That's what defined that hockey game for the Edmonton Oilers last night, is the two video reviews, neither of which went their way. Once again, big shout out to our friends at Douglas Mattress. Check them out online, douglas.ca/OilersNation order.
Chris, home as always, yawn. This show is called Oilers Nation Every Day. We just retired Liko Koskinen.
No other.
Their sign says Oilers Nation.
Does that look like some shit homers wouldn't do? If you're here coming for like, I mean, I think we provide pretty solid analysis.
But like, at the end of the day, like, we also said Hyman's goal shouldn't have counted.
I said either they both don't count or they both count.
It's just this, whatever.
I'm not sitting here saying Hyman should have counted and the other one shouldn't have. That's what a homer would say, Chris.
That's the Facebook chat for you, everyone, by the way.
Yeah.
Crazy world out over there on the Facebook chat.
Yeah, okay. Jay Diz, different angle showed Binnington opened his legs on his own, not from Hyman. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then Dave Lund, Binnington's reaction, looking up to the sky when the goal went in to indicate that he blamed himself for the puck going in, not Hyman or Nuge.
I did see that was a difference for me as well. Skinner immediately was like, what the heck? But The contact was made.
Yeah, the contact was
made. And that's where the refs are looking. They're not looking at reactions and what Binnington did or didn't. They're looking at where was the contact made. The contact was made.
Yeah.
And that was it. It's like when they do, when they review suspensions, it doesn't matter what happens before or after, like to lead up to that. It's that moment is what they're suspended or not suspended. It's the same with goalie interference. Mm-hmm. And offside, I think.
All right.
I don't know offsides.
Here's what Stuart Skinner had to say. It's Sounds of the Oil. It's presented by the Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. The Aerial Park is opening May 31st. Rainbow Valley Campground, we finally got a date. It is opening up on May 15th. Head to rainbow-valley.com for more information on how you can take advantage of their over 60 camping sites and 3 comfort camping domes right in the heart of the city. We'll give Stuart Skinner the last word on this, then we'll move on to a few other things. Skinner on the contact he took, quote, I felt the pad. He kind of stuffed me in the pad. Then because just how a stick is made, he's a pretty tall guy. The shaft didn't allow me to get my blocker down to the puck. That's what I was frustrated with. Really hard for a ref to see it. So I understand his point of view because he can't see under my blocker. It kind of catches my hand. So I'm not able to make a save. But I mean, that's the game. There's tough calls to be made. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. So that was Stuart Skinner on the contact. Again, like, yeah, he's not going to come out here and blast the system and take a fine or whatever. Clearly frustrated with it. And I think he makes some good points on that front. Just going back to what he said, you know, there's tough calls. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. I think there were other things that didn't go the Oilers' way last night. The ice was not good. The puck was bouncing all over the place. And that's one of those things that it affects both teams. So it's not like the puck was only bouncing when the Oilers had the puck on their stick, but I think it negated a couple of really good, I'll call it offensive zone chances for the Oilers. There wasn't like a direct 2-on-1 where the puck bopped over and it was gone, but they had a couple of situations where they were cycling, one on the power play where like Nuge goes to stop it and the puck is just like a bouncy ball going all over the place. So again, the ice wasn't great last night. I didn't love that. Binnington played good, full credit to him. I thought Skinner was solid on the other side as well. And then they just kind of got a bad break in overtime. Like you lose track of a guy coming off the bench and things are happening so fast. Also, Ryan McLeod forces a turnover. So Ekholm thinks, great, this is going up the other way. And we got him caught on a change. Like yeah. I totally understood what Matthias Ekholm was trying to do on that OT winner as well. So I just honestly didn't have a problem with how the Oilers played last night. That's just one of those games where you go out with your B+ effort. And you just don't win. Sometimes you don't win, and that's okay.
And how many times have we seen it where the others come out with like C- effort and manage to win a game, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes these games are just going to happen. I agree. I thought the overtime one was so unlucky. Like I think that was St. Louis's first shot. Mm-hmm. Like basically couldn't get out of their zone. The pressure they were putting on was nuts.
And so just, many good looks.
Oh, and just like, of course, it was Brandon Saad to come out. I think he leads their team in. Oh no, Buchnevich would have been, but he is. That was his 26th goal of the season.
Yeah,
just an unlucky way to for the game to end. You get a point on the road, going to Dallas. I don't think this is going to be one they're going to look back on and be like, "Damn, I can't believe we made so many mistakes." They scored 4 goals and lost.
Yeah,
in a 3-2 game.
Yep. So I mean, whatever. It is what it is. Again, you got a point. Whatever. I think it does add a little bit more pressure now that you have Dallas and Colorado back to back. Like you really got to find a way to win one of those. I think you almost want to get points in both of those if you want to keep a shot open at grabbing the top spot in the division still. The other thing that happened last night, just going to the out-of-town scoreboard, is that the LA Kings lost to the Winnipeg Jets. So they've lost 3 in a row. I'll be honest, I was disappointed seeing that just because I want the Kings to catch the Golden Knights. Them getting that 2 points.
I think they play a couple of times more this season. At least one time. Either way, yeah, that would be nice. I'm just focusing on the above.
You're just looking up?
Just looking up.
They don't play each other again.
They don't play again? No. Maybe they just played recently.
Though. Kings get the Canucks one game.
That's me. That's what I was
thinking. The Kings schedule is easy, man.
It is absolutely
Kraken Sharks.
The easiest schedule in the league.
Kraken Sharks, both not that good. Canucks, good. Ducks. Flames, Ducks, Wild, Hawks. They might still catch Vegas.
Totally. I think Vegas have a top 10 tough schedule.
That's what I like to hear.
Tankathon, is it called? Tankathon.com?
They do it.
That's where I saw it the other day. Strength of schedule. Let me see if I can.
Every time I move my mic, the Koskinen banner gets thrown off.
Spin back around?
Yeah, sure. I don't know which way is the best way. We probably could have like anchored it to the floor in some way.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay.
That'd be too much.
Yeah, probably thinking about our Mikko Koskinen banner a little too hard.
Vegas have the 19th most difficult schedule down the road. LA has the easiest schedule. 30th easiest schedule, St. Louis.
I know, but they're cooked.
They're not cooked.
They have no shot. They're back, no shot.
They're back by 3 points.
Nope, they're done.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, let's continue along with the show. Okay, we talked about the OT winner. We agree, neither of us that frustrated with that one. We talked about the reviews. We are frustrated with that one. Let's get to what else went down last night. Our scoring summary is brought to you by Service Credit Union and the Big Share Contest. There's only 1 month left in the Service Big Share Contest, and you don't want to miss this chance to win $1 million. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you 5 entries into the Big Share Contest. Save in a daily banking account, invest in a GIC, save in a TFSA or RRSP for their short and long-term goals. All of it gives you a chance to win the $1 million grand prize. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required for rules. Visit service.ca/win. The Oilers actually got the scoring going when the hottest scorer on the Oilers, Matthias Ekholm, found the back of the net. An absolute rocket. And it was the fourth line doing the work as well. A big, big one-timer from Ekholm. Connor Brown set it up. Beautiful stuff.
Ekholm's hot. But this was nice to see the fourth line contribute on that one as well. Just like you said, good setup by Brown. Carrick made a good play just before that too.
Mm-hmm.
A bomb from the Ekbom.
An Ekbom is 9th of the season. And then it was the St. Louis Blues doing the scoring. Braden Schenn fires home a couple of markers, one of which came on the power play. If there's one area I thought maybe we could critique the Oilers a little bit last night, it would have been in the discipline department, Liam. I didn't love some of the penalties they took.
Yeah, me neither. I think special teams as a whole is a good place to maybe even criticize them. I don't think the power play was very good.
Power play had some chances to really make an impact in that game, and they didn't. Just going through the penalties last night, Evander Kane getting that roughing one in the second for removing an opponent's helmet, that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah,
that stuff, ridiculous. That's such a subjective call. Like, helmets come off all the time in fights. So I felt like that's a penalty that they only give Evander Kane.
So it just happened the other day when another player fought. Like the helmet did just come off, and it comes off and the guy falls to the ground. There's an apology about it, but it's just like, what are you going to do?
They got a penalty for the unsuccessful challenge. Leon Draisaitl took a tripping penalty that put them down 5-on-3.
Such a bad penalty. It was 4-on-3.
Yeah, you're right. 4-on-3. And then Sam Carrick took a cross-checking penalty. Leon Draisaitl took another tripping penalty in that game. Just not good. That's a few too many ticky-tack stick penalties for me to see taking in a relatively big game. And then in the third period, you mentioned the power play. Tyler Tucker takes a cross-checking penalty in the third period. Oilers have a chance to go out and, you know, tie that hockey game right back up. They miss on that opportunity. Their power play goes 0-for-2 on the night. So they didn't get a ton of opportunities, but still, that was a game where your power play could have made a really big impact.
Do you remember when they played St. Louis last time in St. Louis and we did the watch along and it was a brutal game?
A terrible hockey game.
But do you remember they got like 6 straight power plays, the Blues?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something going on down there, something in the water, St. Louis against the Oilers.
You want, do your own research. I don't hate that.
Don't follow mainstream media, folks.
They would tell you there is nothing there.
There's some breaking news.
Okay.
Kind of. Not related to the Oilers, but St. Louis. Jimmy Snuggerud.
Snuggerud's coming out of college?
He's returning to college. He's coming back for a third year.
He hates St. Louis.
He might hate St. Louis. That would be interesting, though. Cut a Gauthier just kind of add his thing. Maybe read a bit more into this. What's the line, Tyler?
Do your own research.
Do your own research.
Do your own research on Jimmy Snuggerud. He's a good player. He's going to be a good player.
He did 21 goals this season for Minnesota.
Yeah. All right. There's your scoring summary for our friends at Service Credit Union. We're absolutely flying through today's show as well. You know what? Let's go to the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat real quick because I want to get to a couple of comments. Final buzzer. Do not re-sign Brown. If you love something, set it free, especially if it hardly has any points.
No, see you later. No,
Liam.
If he's coming back for nothing because we're paying him $3 million.
League men.
Yes. No, league literally
men.
Nothing.
League men.
He can have his signing bonus again.
League men?
I mean, maybe, but I'm not signing him on day one. I'll say that.
$1 million?
No.
League men. Absolutely.
$1 million?
He's giving good interviews now, too. He's slowly turning into a fan favorite now after he was the whipping boy.
League minimum, I'll just play Raphael Lavoie.
Well, like, I agree. I think if you bring back Connor Brown, you're not even expecting him to be an everyday guy, but he helps on the PK. We know he's got a bit more offense in him. He had a couple of looks last night where he was flying down the wing. The one he missed the net by 12
that was,
feet.
That was great.
But I think the puck rolled up on him a little bit.
Maybe it did, but I don't know. I'm not that interested. Give Brown a chance. He's had a full season.
Yeah. That is fair. We aren't on game 20 anymore.
No. What do we know? 73?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And Evan says only league men anymore and he can walk. Matthews in, he says Brown one more year with a check mark. I think you can bring back one of Brown or Janmark if the price is right.
If the price is right.
I think the only, you still have Derek Ryan under contract for one more season, right?
Yeah, sorry, we got this new keyboard and it's so loud.
If the listeners will care about this, we got a whole new computer set up in here.
Yeah.
And we're also getting new cameras right away, so we're gearing up for the playoffs. But the new computer we got came with its own keyboard, and I want to fire that thing into the sun.
It's so loud, and I sound like an old lady receptionist typing away back click, 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 click. I turn my mic down every time I type now.
Yeah. Well, then at least it's only annoying for us, not the listener.
Yeah, but I wouldn't sign Connor Brown. I wouldn't sign Janmark. I think sometimes you just have to move on and create a new identity in your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair too. I do think they'll probably consider bringing back a guy like Sam Carrick. I know we're getting into the weeds now of off-season talk, but here you go. Power rank them in order you want them back. Carrick, Janmark, Brown.
Carrick, Janmark, Brown.
I think I go Carrick, Brown, Janmark. Although Janmark had that rush up the ice yesterday where he was just weaving and he was motoring too. And he almost got the wraparound to go. And it was one of those good reminders that even the absolute worst players on the ice in an NHL game are capable of doing the most skilled thing you've ever seen. They're all so good.
I think one thing I'm liking with Janmark recently is he's putting himself in uncomfortable positions. Like he's fighting a little bit more and stuff like that. And I really appreciate guys who get out of their comfort zone and doing that. I'm not asking Brown to go and fight, but Janmark's just doing that a little bit more now to get me over the hump. Yep. I don't think he demands anything either.
Dirty coal miner. He looked like McDavid for a moment. Eric says loud keyboards. Let everyone know that you mean business. Mm-hmm. Stand on business. Reagan says Carrick, Brown, Janmark in that order. I agree with that. Carrick, Brown, Janmark. Tyler hates Janmark from Lance. Include Kane and Perry in that list. Well, you can include Perry because, again, UFA signing. Listen, I appreciate what Corey Perry is brought to the Oilers and brought to the lineup, and I like the scoring touch. I'm not bringing back Corey Perry.
Tyler.
The skating's a problem.
He's literally has more goals than Connor Brown. He's been here for 20 games. He actually has double the amount of goals Connor Brown has in less than half the games he's played. Perry... over Brown.
He's 39.
I don't care. He can play on my fourth line instead of Brown.
I want him back.
Can't kill penalties.
That's fine. Someone else can kill him. Corey Perry can go on my second unit power play and then shove his hand in Neil Pionk's face in round one next season. I don't know. I can't think of anyone.
That's fine.
Dowdy.
Perry would be cheap. So again, I should caveat any of those bottom six guys who are willing to come back for league minimum, you can kind of just do it.
I think two of the
Keith
thing.
Ah, yeah, sure.
I like having that experience. And I think the dressing room likes having a guy like that.
Yeah.
That thing you said the other week, he was like, check your ego at the door. I appreciate that.
I did like that. Maybe I was too harsh on him. You've changed my mind on a couple of things today.
85% of our audience wants Connor Brown back at league minimum. I made a poll.
That's too bad. 85 of them.
Do another poll, Brown or Perry. I have a funny feeling that one will be 80%+ in one direction as well. Okay, we should start moving along. Should we get rid of the Mikko Koskinen banner?
Why?
I don't know. It is kind of funny. Happy trails, happy retirement to Mikko Koskinen. Okay, we got a guest joining us on the Star Mechanical guest line today. We got a couple other things to get to before the end of the show. But let's get out to the guest line. It's brought to you by Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find them online at starmechanical.ca. You can trust your local Star, whether it's residential, commercial, 24/7 emergency service. They've been helping Edmonton businesses and families for over 20 years, and they can help you as well. Joining us today on the Star Mechanical guest line is former NHL defenseman Jason Demers. Jason, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
We are good. Coming off an Oilers loss, so we could be better. You can find Jason on Twitter at JasonDemers5, where his bio says 2022 Beijing Olympian, NHL Network analyst. You plug your Instagram. Great work. But you don't have a Oiler in there. That feels like a slight.
It's a slight. You know, I only got one game. So it's not so much a slight as I felt a little bit cheap to be like, oh, former Oiler when I had one game. And, you know, it was a great, it's a big game for me. But, you know, I'd be more of a Bakersfield Condor than an actual Edmonton Oiler.
That one game, it really was one of the best moments of last year. Like everyone remembers that. Tell us that story a little bit. How did that all come together?
I was like, it was 2 years in the making. So, you know, 2 years prior, I had back surgery. I ended up thinking I was finished in my hockey career as a whole, not even being able to skate. I had a lot of issues with my back, and I kind of got surgery, said, you know what, I'm going to give it one more kick at the can. It ended up becoming a blessing because I ended up going to play in the Olympics and then also playing over in Russia, which was an interesting experience. And then that last year in the off season, I just went, you know what, let's just try one more time. So I called everybody, begged for a PTO, finally got one. You know, Jay Woodcroft, I owe a lot to him for bringing me in. And, you know, it worked out well. You know, I got to kind of play my last year. You know, I kind of wished I would be able to show more of myself for the Oilers, especially when they were in the playoffs. You know, I felt like I could have potentially helped, but, you know, being able to go down as a mentor in the AHL and kind of give back, as well as, you know, enjoying hockey in the sense of it being my last year and not really knowing it till probably the last game we played in that playoff little, you know, the AHL, it's a little weird with how you get into the playoffs. If you're in the wild card, you play like a best 2 out of 3. So after that last game we lost in Abbotsford, I kind of was like on the ice and just decided there that was probably it for me, unless I was able to go up and get a little bit, join the Oilers for their run. And, you know, that didn't happen. So for me, it was kind of like just looking to the next chapter. So, but it was a blessing to be able to get my 700th game, especially in San Jose, where I grew up and played a big part of my career was there, and to have that and them to give me a little tribute on the Jumbotron, which is usually reserved for players that have, you know, just recently come back or like their 1,000th game. So for me, it was amazing to get that and get a little crowd pop. So, and just go out on a high high note for me, which was amazing. And, you know, I tell people it's most NHL players or athletes in general, we don't get to choose how we go out. It's usually told for us and told to us. And it's the story's kind of written for us, our last chapter. So when you're able to write your own and do it your own way, it's a privilege. So for me, I was left with so much gratitude and to the Oilers organization and the Sharks organization for sure.
Digging into the Oilers right now, I mean, Connor McDavid is on another level, and it feels weird saying that because it feels like he's always on another level.
Yeah.
When he first came into the league, I mean, you would have been a veteran of 5-6 years at that point. When you think back to McDavid coming into the NHL, do you have any first memories of going up against him? Was there a point where you were like, who is this kid? Is he actually going to be good? And then do you remember his first game against you guys?
I was in Dallas, and it's actually a funny story. So I was in Dallas, and I'm pretty sure it was either his first goal or his first point.
It was his first goal.
Was against us, and I'm pretty sure I was on the ice, and I think it was a tip. And then in that game, he hit, my D partner was Johnny Oduya, and he kind of ran him from behind. And I literally was skating up the ice with him, and I was like, you little mother. I'm like, if you do that again, you little young punk, like, I'm going to take your head off. You know, not knowing who he was, like, obviously that he was going to be this superstar. And just, you know, playing against him for one game, but I think we're after the first period, guys are like, this kid is going to be a problem. Like, it is just, special after special, like within seeing him for two shifts. But it was just funny. I was, you know, looking back now, I was like, maybe I should have jumped him and gave him a funny story of having his first fight or something like that, or especially after he hit one of my, you know, he hit my D partner from behind. So those are funny stories. So I gave up first goal and then also tried to fight him in his first time playing against him. So that's my memory of Connor.
Right now, the Oilers have two defensemen who are kind of flying, but the one I want to ask you about is Mattias Ekholm. I think since he's become an Oiler, like the expectations coming in were like, this guy's just going to be a really good, like, defensive defenseman, chipping with some offense here and there. And right now, he's unbelievable.
He's looking like a legit number one.
People are talking about him for the Norris, which I think is a bit much.
It's a stretch, yeah. But what I think
right now,
I mean, 15 points in 10 games, not that bad.
Yeah.
And he's got an underrated, not anymore, but, you know, I think before this year or last year, just being in that small market in Nash, you know, his shot is elite. He's got a hell of a half one timer. He doesn't go all the way back. He keeps it really compact. And it's amazing how he just, when he shoots the puck, it's like he's trying to put it through the net. But, you know, I think everybody thought they were getting this guy that's really good positionally. He's obviously just what he's done with Evan Bouchard, helping him elevate his game. And people shouldn't, you know, Bouch is such a great defenseman and he works on his game, but a credit to Kenny Holland and them for bringing an Ekholm, because that's what Bouch needed, was a veteran like that, that can play 200 feet, can play both ways and can kind of show him how to be consistent, you know? And I think you've seen Bouch take a step, not only, you know, he's having another quiet offensive season, and you could say borderline, he's in the honorable mentions of a Norris as well. But what he's given to Bouch, I feel like, and what I've noticed watching his game, is the consistency. You know, he still has those lapses, Bouch, where he's being, you know, Bouch. And what makes him so great is, Evan, is his ability to keep his heart rate so low at no matter what point in the game. But Ekholm's just given him this extra layer of consistency, which is what, as a defenseman, you need, and especially to be elite for a long time in the league. So he's done a great job with that. And I think himself, he's been surprised. You know, I remember I just had my one game, but I got to go to dinner with all the guys before that 700th game in Anaheim. And I sat with Mattias and I just said, kind of, how's it been? And he just was like, man, it's like my offense has just taken another step because being on this team and learning from these guys offensively. So it was interesting for me to kind of hear somebody talk that way. Like, he watches those forwards up there, and it's given him the opportunity to kind of be more offensive and be more creative by just being around those guys. It's contagious. You know, you see the game a different way. And if you're analytical at all in how you play and how you go about seeing the game, it's just so beneficial to be around, you know, the Leons, the Connors, the Hymans, the Nugent Hopkins, the list goes on and on up front, but they create so much space. And if you have the wherewithal and any kind of brain as a defenseman, you can just find the areas and they're going to get you the puck. And then you just got to, you know, score, which is obviously the 90% of it, but getting to that area is so important and finding that space. So he's done such a great job. And I love watching that D pair play together. They're so wild and they're up in the rush. They're leading the rush. They're making these plays at the blue line, last man back, that you wouldn't even, I feel like half the game watching them, you're gasping, but it just works. And it's so effective. And he is the number one on the team for sure. I think Bouch is, it's probably 1A, 1B, but I would, Ekholm is definitely a number one and has been. And I think this has been his coming out party these past 2 years.
When you were down in Bakersfield, obviously there's a few guys, Stefan, there's the guys who people want to know about, but Philip Broberg's the one I think that people need to see more from him. And it seems like he's really come out of his shell in Bakersfield this season. But when you were down there, like, did you see anything from it? It looks like you only played 7 games when you were down there, but what did you think of Broberg?
I talk with him a lot. I kept in touch with him during the season and kind of followed his game. And, you know, I was banging the drum. I'm with the NHL Network and I was banging the drum for Edmonton to trade him and for him to look for just to try to get a return. But, you know, I also work with the Sharks, and I was telling the Sharks, hey, go get him because I see what's possible there. And the thing with Philip is he's not a guy that you can play 10, 12 minutes a night because he's not going to be effective. His skating and the way he moves and the way he's in the rush and how it's so effortless, he's a guy that needs to be eating up 20, 22 minutes. And that's just not there right now within the Edmonton Oilers organization. So I'm sure he's probably inquired about maybe getting moved, and they probably looked for the right deal. But he's just a kid that I think needs those minutes to be successful, and he's getting them in Bakersfield, and he's flourishing, and as he should, because he's one of those guys that can be a game breaker, solid, you know, 3-4 defenseman on a team. But again, it's just not in the cards for Edmonton right now to experiment with that. And for them, they needed to give him, I think they kind of stunted him a little bit last year, playing him as the seventh. I think they needed to either needed to be all in with him or send him down to the minors. And last year they kept him up. And people don't realize, like, it's hard to be a 22 minute a night defenseman, but it's one of the hardest things is to play sub 10 minutes because it is so hard to be effective and everything's under the microscope, especially in a market like Edmonton where every shift is watched. And people don't realize that he makes a mistake. You're sitting on that bench, you're ice cold. You can't even feel your legs. And then you're like, hey, go out there, go have a shift. And all of a sudden you look on the other side and you're against the McKinnon and you're like, oh God, like I have to find my groins and my legs in about 2 seconds. And then also make a play because stakes are so high in Edmonton. So I feel like they mismanaged it a little bit with him. And I'm glad this year they're like, listen, I think DeHarnais solidified himself there. And, you know, hopefully they can re-sign him. If they can't, you know, he's going to command a nice deal for himself. So then maybe in that case, then you bring up Roberg next year. And otherwise I think he's got to play and he's got to play big minutes.
I wanted to talk about just the way the Oilers are rolling right now, heading into the playoffs. And I'm always curious, there are certain things in the media that we spin into narratives. And I'm always wondering if they're actually true in an NHL locker room. And one of them is we always say, oh, you got to be peaking at the right time going into the playoffs. And you're a guy, you went on a handful of long runs in your career. With the Sharks, you guys went to a conference final and things like that. Is that something the media is overblown? Or is it one of those things where no matter how you play in the regular season, night one of the playoffs feels like a new year? What do you make of that idea of wanting to peak at the right time and play good in the final 10 games of the regular season?
Yeah, you know, you hit it right on the head. You can't, it's not a light switch. You can't turn it on unless you're the Vegas Golden Knights. And there's such a rare occurrence where they were just able to turn it on just out of nowhere. And everybody was like, you know, and they might do it again this year. So who knows? But there's two things you need is you need your structure dialed in. You need to know your identity going into the playoffs. And that in itself needs to be peaking. So your structure needs to be just so locked tight. Everybody knows what the role is and what they're doing. And then you need your goaltending. You need your goalie to be peaking at the right time. And that's just, it sucks to say, and you put a lot of, it is the spot on the team that has the position that has the most pressure behind it. But rightfully so. Like, a hot goalie wins you a championship. I don't care who says anything otherwise, unless you are the year the Avalanche won, where they maybe gave up 15 shots a game. But to that point, Darcy Kuemper had to be big for 15 shots, and he made the saves they needed to make to win. So you need those two things going in. So I think Edmonton's found their identity. They're starting to defend better and more structure. You know, their shots on goal allowed in the league right now, they're fifth, and shots for, they're first in the league. So it's like two little stats that I look at. So they're limiting shots and they're getting opportunities. So they have possession of the puck. So if they can keep that going in the playoffs, that's huge. You know, I think they're going to play some teams in the Pacific that are frustrating to play against. You know, Vegas plays that five on a dice D zone where they don't let anything through the middle and they keep you on the perimeter. And then you might get LA, who knows where that ends up. But if you get LA, it's you know what you're going to get. So they're going to have to not get frustrated, because at times the one issue I see with Edmonton is they sometimes get frustrated if they can't play their game. You know, Leon and Connor will get a little bit squirrely if it's a little bit slower pace because they're so go, go, go. But, you know, I look through that West, it's going to be a gauntlet, a murderer's row to get out. But they have an opportunity. I think they're better suited this year than they were last year. You know, I think last year everybody was kind of, but I didn't see it last year. This year I see it. And it's going to depend on staying in their structure. They have the most depth I've seen them have in years. Yep. And the depth is contributing and starting to pick it up. You know, Connor Brown's starting to find his game. I think Connor Carrick's been a great pickup. Just both sides of the puck. Adam Henrique is slowly but surely getting there. And I heard you guys talking about Perry. I mean, Perry's the guy you need in the playoffs. It's just, you can't not have a guy like that that's going to mix it up and can play up and down. The only X factor for me offensively is Evander Kane right now. If they have any chance of making a run, he needs to find his game, and they need to make sure that he's feeling good, or somebody's got to grab him by the collar and kind of be like, let's go. Like, we need you. Like, play your game. So, and then Skinner. So if Skinner can stay the way he's playing, and obviously I know that's a lot of question marks, but for me, I just break it down. My two X factors, just to kind of put a bow on it, is Skinner and Kane. I think everything else right now is good, but I think Skinner and Kane, I love the way Skinner's battled back this year. I think he's a great kid. Works really hard. But the only thing that worries me is the media, which we can be tough in our ivory tower. We sit up top and we pick and choose, and we're like, these guys suck. They don't, because it's easy to watch from the bird's eye view. But if they lose game one and he doesn't have a good game, that pressure is going to go from 0 to 100 real quick. And how does he deal with that? And hopefully he's learned from last year to just kind of push that away and turn off your phone for the whole playoff run. And then Kaner, because if Kaner goes on a heater, they're in good, good shape. But if he doesn't, it's going to be, you know, they're missing a big piece that could score.
Yeah. Media can be tough, but only one of us on the show has ever motherfucked Connor McDavid on his way up the ice. So
kind of did you? I love it. That's unbelievable. You got to give it to him. Well, yeah, I mean, that is me, but yeah, sorry. I was like, who is that? That was me. Yeah. I tried to fight him, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that from the ivory tower. He could do no wrong on the ice, man. He's so good. It's crazy.
I really appreciate all the analysis. Our YouTube chat is buzzing. There is one more story they want from you. We talked about the one game where you became an Edmonton Oiler. Someone in the chat, I missed it now, so I can't give them credit, but they want to know about the time you almost became an Edmonton Oiler. You came up, you did the tour with your hard hat on with Lucic walking around Rogers' place. How close were you to being an Oiler that summer?
That, to me, is one of... I've told this story a few times, but they flew me in with my dad, and Lucic was there, and we had that tour planned, and then we were going to have a dinner at the owner's house. Kate's. I got it right. All right. So we went to Kate's house. I mean, an amazing house. Seeing the banners that he has of the old Stanley Cups, like encased, is like absolutely incredible. So there was like a private chef. We roll into the house and I'm talking to my dad. I'm like, you know, I really wanted to sign with Edmonton. I was like the only team I visited, and it was the only team I really called. And it was like, I'd love to play with this group of players. I know the core. Todd McClellan was the coach with Trent Yanni. And I talked to Todd the day before, and he was like, hey, we really need a right-handed defenseman. I had Trent Yanni in San Jose, and he was one of my favorite coaches. He got a lot out of me, and some of my best years were in San Jose. So I was super excited. And we're sitting at dinner, and I'm looking across the table, and Lucic keeps getting up and leaving the table and coming back. And then, you know, Chiarelli was there too, and Chiarelli's getting up and leaving the table, and they're going to talk in the corner. And I'm like, what's going on? So I'm like kind of talking to my dad, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. They must be negotiating. And I can just hear Luch at the table being like, the number just keeps going up and up and up, and they're going back and forth. And I think it was like the third or fourth course, and the money was at like wherever they settled on, 5 or 6 million. And I like turn to my dad and I'm like, doesn't look like we're going to Edmonton. Because I'm like, it went from like them courting me and like walking around with me and talking to me like, oh, hey, this is such a great place. This is why Edmonton, you should choose Edmonton. And I'm not telling them, but I'm like, yeah, I'm already sold. Like, what do you want me to sign for? Within reason, because I had a big year that year before and had built into the right place. And literally it went from like talking to me and Luch, and then it's like we weren't even there in the house. And then they ended up signing the deal. And I think Chiarelli drove us to the airport or drove us back to the hotel and was pretty much like you kind of heard, sorry. So I just like walked into the hotel room with my dad and I was like, well, at least we got a free dinner and a free flight out of this. So I was like, and we got to see a tour of the new arena, which is beautiful. So I'm like, let's order some shit on room service and get out of here. So, cause I'm like, it doesn't look like it's happening, but like I was down to come and I was really interested and I would have loved to, it would have been such a good fit at that time. And still, you know, I'd probably still see myself being there, playing with, Connor and Leon and those guys. And at that point in my career, but it's just funny because Luch took all the money.
Well, it's not like our YouTube chat needed more reasons to hate Milan Lucic and Peter Chiarelli. So, okay. But that is a great story, man. Really appreciate you hopping on and doing this. We look forward to having you on more throughout the playoffs, leading up to the playoffs, all that stuff.
Yeah, can't wait, man. It's been great. So I love chatting it up and yucking it up with you guys. So be easy on the boys, though. This is a big year. So
yes,
pulling for them.
I like that kind of optimism. There you go. Jason Mears on the Star Mechanical Desk guest line, the former Oiler, Shark, Star, Coyote. Good Puck Doku answer.
Panther.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, that's where he signed.
How could I miss that? You're right. Yeah, there you go. Riley is in on the YouTube chat, says, hey, boys, can you apologize on behalf of Edmonton? Yeah. That I feel like we should.
That's a story. Ruthless.
That sucks. Nice.
So who would they have signed instead?
There's not a lot of guys who are like, I really want to play in Edmonton.
Very few. Very few.
Yeah.
So who would they have signed? Let's have a quick peek.
That wouldn't have been the Lahr. No, that would have been before that, right? Well, that would have been the Hall for Larson here.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Jason Demers could have saved us so much heartache. Well, not Jason Demers. Peter Chiarelli could have saved us so much heartache.
Is that when they... Oh, no, that would have been before.
Right? Because Lucic was the... No, Lucic was... No. I'm wrong.
Because they played it yet. Well, I mean, it could have prevented
it. Could have, yeah. It could domino effect.
I'm trying to... I don't know. God damn it. So their right side that year would have been Matt Benin. That was big. Chris Russell. Sekera?
Yeah, Sexy Reg would have been there.
Was he already? Clefbaum. I don't know. I guess I have it open here. I could have probably just looked.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. That is actually wild.
How great was he though?
Fantastic. Fantastic. One of our best guests.
So the plan is, just for everyone watching, I think he's going to be a regular. I think so, yeah.
I
think weekly?
I hope so. That was great.
I could have listened to him go for another 10 minutes.
That was great.
Great stories.
I always say those guests, the analogy I use, I say it's soft toss to Barry Bonds. We could have just been like three words. You'd just be like, Evander Kane recently, and Demers will give you a great answer on him.
That was...
What a guy.
That was the Lawson year. That's when they acquired Lawson, was that year. 2016.
Oh, yeah, because it was after that playoff run. No.
Yeah. That's when they signed Lucic.
No. Lucic was
I'm looking at it right
was
now.
Right before the 16 season, Liam, because he was there in the 2017 playoff run. He scored 20 goals that year.
So this is the year. So this is when he went to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is when he would have re-signed this summer, 2006, summer of 2016. And then if you go on the Oilers roster for 2016, there's Adam Lawson.
Well, now I'm all confused.
Huh. Hmm. All right, side sure was okay,
every
strong.
Time I move my mic arm, the cost can advance. All right, quick. We don't know our facts. Distract the people with the nonsense. Look, we retired Mikko Koskinen's number earlier today. All right.
I'm actually kind of bummed. That is a crazy ripple effect on the Oilers history.
You should write an article about it. It'd be a good article.
Would be
a good article.
Zach Coombe, stay away.
Liam is 100% correct. They traded Hall for Larson, then signed Lucic. Okay, yeah, we were right then. Yeah, because Hall never got to play playoff games. It was Eberle who got to play playoff games.
Don't care anymore.
Yeah, I'm over it. Calvin Pickard, can you please leave? Dave, you are both correct, just interpreting each other wrong. That happens.
We don't have very good chemistry.
No, God, no. All right, let's continue along with the show. Get to the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio going to drop a little bit later on this afternoon, wherever you get your podcast from. Also, it'll premiere on our YouTube. What, later tonight?
6 o'clock
tonight here on the Oilers Nation YouTube. So some evening Oilers content for you. Also tonight on the Out of Town Scoreboard, Vegas, Vancouver.
Huge game.
Massive implications.
Yep. A lot of good games, actually. Come just this little stretch here for around the NHL is fantastic. Good chunk tonight. I think that's the one with the most playoff implications on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just looking. Capitals, Buffalo. No, Buffalo's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the biggest game on the slate. And you have to wait till 8 o'clock to watch it.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's time zones. That's not the NHL's fault.
I would argue differently. It's all in right. Vegas. Are they three time zone right?
Pacific. Both those teams are Pacific.
Really? Well, you know.
Outside of the NHL, the Blue Jays got no hit yesterday. That's funny to you?
That is funny.
It is pretty funny because they got no hit by a 30-year-old making like his eighth career start,
and he did that. Insane.
Yeah, that sucked.
Cody said, Tyler, how did you get Devin Travis on the show?
I texted him.
Devin Travis was my favorite Blue Jay.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I liked his style. He just looked cool when he played baseball. Yeah, he was good player, not as good as he probably should have been.
It is no like offense. To peel, he got hurt. That was kind of part of it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Peel back the curtain a little bit. There are certain guests you get on the show where like you reach out to them and you're like, hey, do you want to do this? Are you interested? And they're kind of like, yeah, sure. Like I'll do it, whatever. And you could tell they're kind of like doing it because they feel an obligation, but not because they want to. Demers and also Devin Travis, absolutely awesome in the sense that like they email you the day before. I'm excited to do this tomorrow. Anything I should prepare, all of this stuff. Can't wait. Let's go. And that's what I love about it. It makes the conversation so much easier as well. Devin was 100% like that and just like open to telling stories and stuff too, right?
Tell you anything good?
Well, we asked him a little bit. His locker mate was Josh Donaldson. That's who he sat next to. So I asked him a little bit about like the intensity of like Donaldson and Batista on the same team and those kind of at times clashes. And he gave us some good answers about that. So you can download Blue Jays Nation Radio wherever you get your podcast from as well. I talk baseball a couple times a week.
He was part of a Blue Jays team, not to get straight too far away from all this talk, that just changed baseball in Canada.
Yeah.
It was
created lifelong Blue Jays fans that run.
It did. It's too bad what's happened to them since.
Yeah. Jose Barrios going to get the ball tonight. He had a good opening day start for the Jays. So
they kept him in for longer than four.
Yeah, they kept him in for longer than eight pitches this time. So he'll get the ball going up against Framber Valdez of the Houston Astros. So there's your Blue Jays update today, delivered by our friends over at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Nation25. Good job, Liam. Continuing along or wrapping it up, I should say Wendy's and the Wendy's Survivor Challenge for a limited time. How about this? When you're driving past a Wendy's in one of the next coming mornings, pop in $5 Cinnabon pull apart and a small coffee. And a small coffee. You were just complaining. You got your coffee from somewhere not Wendy's today.
It was the worst coffee I've ever had.
You literally sent Kennedy out of the office and said, go get me a better coffee,
she's
please.
Back.
I said it a bit more politely than
you did.
That.
You did.
But what was wrong with the coffee, Tyler? Tell the world.
They didn't put coffee in it.
They didn't put damn coffee in my coffee. It was just hot water and a flavor, I guess.
French vanilla flavoring. It was a hot.
It was just milk. It was a tea.
It was garbage.
It was garbage. It was awful.
But our friends at Wendy's, they got you hooked up with the $5 Cinnabon pull apart and small coffee. Download the app today. Also head to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com and play along. Are you still alive?
No.
I am.
Oh.
I just closed my eyes and randomly picked Pittsburgh to score more than 3.5 goals. Nailed it. So today I'm going Buffalo under 3.5 as they take on the Washington Capitals.
Under 3.5.
Yep.
If I was still in, I'd go with Vegas to win. Cause I want to win the division.
Well, then let's talk about some other picks for tonight. Shout out to Wendy's. Get into things for our friends at Betway. Liam, the Vegas Golden Knights -130 on the money line. You pushing puck line with that bad boy on Betway or what?
-140, you said?
-130.
For Vegas, they're the favorites.
Yeah, they're the home ice.
Oh, they are on home. No. Oh. No, I wouldn't get greedy with it. Thomas Hurdle back skating, no.
Yeah, that'll be a bit of a problem. So, ideal.
I don't know about Thomas Hurdle.
I mean, he's pretty good.
He's fine.
Two games today. Two games today. I like the under in for our friends at Betway. Okay. Washington, Buffalo. I like the under. Washington. It's juiced up to 6.5. I'm taking under all day. Okay. And I like going under 6.5 between Vancouver and Vegas.
Another good under might be Chicago, New York Islanders.
Ooh, there's actually, I think today, under day over on Betway. It's not sexy. Everyone loves betting overs. But sometimes you just got to bite your tongue a little bit and just go, I'm going to just go with the unders. Boost up the bankroll. I think they're smart plays today.
Because you'll get your overs tomorrow when Tampa Bay and Toronto take on each other.
Yep.
And the Devils and Rangers take on each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Oilers and Stars go head to head. Tomorrow's actually a really good day for games.
Great day.
And then we end the night with Canucks Yotes.
Hopefully the Yotes pull off an upset. All right. Shout out to our friends at Betway. Thatcher Demko on that road trip, by the way, for the Vancouver Canucks. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create a new account, scan the QR code on the screen. You can see it right here and redeem your bonus. Place a bet with no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to keep betting on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. Maybe you want to bet on some baseball. And if your bet loses, you got a little bit of a bonus action for tomorrow when Edmonton's back in action. So there you go. Shout out to Betway. You can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Big shout out to our guy, Jason Demers. Excited to have him on as a friend of the show moving forward. The week of guests will continue. We still have Frank joining us. We still have DJ Bean joining us later in the week as well. Eventually, we're going to keep introducing some new friends as we get closer to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Fun times. Fun times. Show's going to 90 minutes come playoff time. So giddy up, everybody. They're making us work 90 minutes. That's ridiculous. But it's for the people.
For our co-hosts.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to everyone in the Charm Diamond Centers YouTube chat as well. CharmDiamondCenters.com is where you want to go. You can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks with Charm and their Masterpiece program. And come on, Liam, am I not the best example of it? I'm now happily engaged thanks to our friends at Charm Diamond Centers. I went in, specific list of demands. Dainty rose gold pear shaped. And you know what they said? That won't be a problem at all. When do you need it? That's what they said. going to be dropping a behind the scenes video with our friends at Charm Diamonds right away as well to show you how much they were able to help me out. Head to charmdiamondcenters.com for more information. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. We'll be back tomorrow, Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day Edition things. Jay will be back in the building as well. We'll talk to you at noon Mountain Time.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.